All right. Well, today I'm going to report on a research endeavor that was created as Ike was bearing down on us, conceived as it was doing its worst, and birthed in the immediate aftermath of devastation to our community. No presenter disclosures to make. So I'd like to recognize the number of people who contributed to many parts of this study. We had a team of local, national, and international collaborators that worked with me immediately after the storm to try and hone in on the things that we should be worried about and experiencing to track. These people have deep background in disasters and biobehavioral assessments of health, and their insight, advice, and guidance and feedback help focus and improve the study in accountable ways. The study was a big study. It was involved a baseline assessment conducted from February through June of 2009, right after the storm, and two other follow-up cycles, one at 1 year anniversary in September 2009, and the last one this September 2010. We just finished the last data collection. Since it was impossible to tell ahead of time what would be important, we asked participants to report on a lot of things. The very first assessment was particularly big participant burden because we didn't know what we needed to know, and we needed to know as much about the demographics of the storm and how it impacted participants as we did about how the hurricane affected the community. So we were also convinced that relying only on subjective self-report was not the optimal approach, and we solicited contributions to saliva, to assay cortisol, testosterone, DHEAS, Epstein-Barr reactivation, and three cytokines, IL-1, IL-6, and TNF-A, as stress reactions. Phase two was the subsequent follow-up surveys, involved repeated measures regarding well-being, the physical, social, emotional, and to track how all of these were recovering from Ike. And this report today is only going to cover the baseline assessment only. The specific aims of the study were broad and ambitious. We had, there are numerous studies on disaster survivors that have explored the prevalence and incidence of mental and physical ill health, and most only focus on the short term, within the first year. And few have had access to large scale intact populations because disasters tend to distribute and disperse populations. So we had a unique opportunity here to access an intact population that experienced a disaster. And since we focused on UTMB, then at least what we held similar or homogeneous across the group was the employer, which varies vastly across other kinds of populations. So we realized that we needed not only to describe the immediate impact of the disaster, but we also had to pay attention to the recovery across time. Now, as my former colleague just said, the devastation caused by Hurricane Ike to the Gulf Coast, and in particular Galveston Island, Texas, rivals Hurricane Katrina, something that most people do not realize, and the famous 1901 storm in the economic impact to the area. We didn't have as many deaths, but we certainly did have the devastation. Whereas previous studies have had to sample among the survivors, we had, I had the opportunity to systematically sample across a homogeneous group. All in all, 477 participants completed the extensive set of baseline questions in the first survey cycle, and of those, 115 gave saliva samples. And this subsample with both the biological and the physiological data are the focus of today's presentation. Of the subsample, the gender breakdown mirrored that of the parent group and indicated that women contributed more than men, with the ethnic distribution largely white. As one of the region's primary health care providers, there is also a complex interaction between the professional and the personal demands as we go in through a disaster. This is a shot of our campus during the storm surge. This is the shot immediately after, when we were attempting to return to assess the impact. Remember, we're on an island, and the bridge is the only way in, and that was not open to residents to coming back for quite a long time. Immediately after, when we were attempting to the shock of return, and the ongoing recovery demands, picking up and cleaning up in order to rebuild. Therefore, the goal was to use a multimodal, multi-level approach to capturing various sources of stress that span the pre-disaster, within disaster, and post-disaster periods. Our measures incorporated physiological measures, immunoendocrine measures, psychological measures, and as well as negative behaviors that all contributed to negative health outcomes. The three that will be the focus of today's presentation are an assessment of hurricane impact, the immunoendocrine, and the psychological factors. To give you some high idea how pervasive hurricane impact factors can be, we asked a simple question. How long did it take you to reach your evacuation destination? Texas is a big state, and Hurricane Rita taught us that gridlock was potentially as dangerous as the hurricane itself. 10% of the baseline study participants joined the estimated 1 million persons who evacuated from the region. Of the 115 subsample, 6% traveled 8 hours or more, and 44% traveled 5 hours or more. We had feedback from participants across the age spectrum, 24 to 80 years of age. The range of days away from home at the time of the baseline survey for the subsample ran from zero, they never left, to 142. Now, many people had pets to evacuate than children, more pets than children, and this is perhaps not surprising since the average age was 48, and children under 18 were less likely for this sample. A breakdown of the extent of the damage reported shows that 52% experienced substantial damage by power loss, 27% reported substantial loss by flood or storm surge, with another 14% from other water sources, and 24% have substantial loss by wind. And of course, many people had losses from all of these. Now, of course, the real focus of the study was to look at the impact on health and well-being. Extensive findings have documented a wide array of negative health impacts for disaster survivors, focusing on mental and physiological health effects. Findings commonly demonstrate clear associations between PTSD symptomology, depression, anxiety, worry, and exposure to the hurricane. However, most studies focus on the first year because disaster effects impact appear to peak during the first year, and this provides assessments of acute rather than chronic effects. And we were interested in not only the acute, but we wanted to capture the chronic effect. Hence, we followed all of our participants, or tried to, out 2 years. Sleep problems were evident in 99% of the group, with 12% of the participants reporting 5 sleep problems since the storm. Prolonged sleep deprivation has been shown to lead to suppressed immune functioning, mental and physical fatigue, irritability, poor coping, poor mental cognition, and a host of negative health outcomes if sustained. The distribution for the Center for Epidemiological Studies Depression Scale showed that 40% of the participants were experiencing elevated symptoms of depression. Because we know that elevated symptoms are expected in times of disaster, it's normal to have an elevated symptomology. And after traumatic events, we used a higher criteria for determining if a significant degree of depressive symptoms was present. As you can see, even using the higher criteria, more than a quarter of our respondents were experiencing depressive symptoms. We also assessed post-traumatic stress symptoms using several different measures. Reported here is when using the traumatic stress questionnaire that assessed 10 primary symptoms, using a criteria of reporting of at least 6, 17.5% had elevated scores. Evidence of various stress-related psychological and psychosomatic symptoms are also commonly reported in disaster populations, and in fact, are more prevalent than clinical depression or diagnosis of PTSD. In the subsample, more than half of the respondents demonstrated elevated levels of significant persistent worry. This seems to support more recent studies that distinguish between deleterious impacts of prolonged worry and anxiety as distinctive from the development of psychopathology. One way to evaluate the effect of the hurricane impact was to group our sample into high and low hurricane exposure. Our measure of hurricane exposure asked about the extent of the impact on one's displacement, damage, injury, inconvenience, impact to the family and the community. We summed across the 6 items to obtain a total score and dichotomized by mean split. There were significant differences for all the assessments except worry, with the high group experiencing more perceived stress, depressions, PTSD symptoms. Apparently, it didn't matter what your level of hurricane exposure were, you were worrying equally as much. A similar analysis across high and low hurricane impact groups on our biological assays found no significant differences, although the direction of the differences were expected. Our original premise was that our biological indicators would help further inform the self-reports of a psychological assessment. Our correlations between depression, PTSD symptoms, worry, and hurricane exposure demonstrated a robust pattern of substantial positive correlations. A similar correlation analysis between our biological assays indicated a clear pattern of significant positive relationships between the three cytokines, but little evidence of coherence between the hormonal or immune functioning assays. Of particular interest were the potential relationships between the immunoendocrine set and the self-reported psychological measures. While IL-6 demonstrated a positive small correlation with depression and a marginal positive relationship with PTSD severity, all other relationships were dramatically non-significant. So there is the possibility that simple linear relationships are not telling the whole story. So we entered PTSD total, PTSD frequency, PTSD severity, depression, worry, hurricane exposure, and the 8 biological assessments into various backward stepwise regression, predicting depression, PTSD symptoms, worry, and perceived stress. The partial correlations indicate the relative contribution for each factor reaching significance in the model. As you can see, 4 factors were predictive of depression: perceived stress, PTSD symptom frequency, hurricane exposure, and IL-6, with 73% of the variance accounted for. For PTSD, worry, depression, hurricane exposure, and IL-1B significantly accounted for 66% of the variance. For perceived stress, 3 factors were predictive: worry, depression, hurricane exposure, with 67% of the variance accounted for. And for worry, it was perceived stress, PTSD frequency, and DHEAS, significantly accounting for 36% of the variance. So our biological indicators are playing a part here, and they're playing a different role depending on what kind of psychological outcome that you're looking at. So clearly we have participants that are showing significant distress. There are indications that our biological measures are indicative of distress and psychological well-being, but that relationship is not yet clear. Our repeated measures analysis across our follow-up assessments may allow us to identify those that recover quickly, show delayed recovery, sustained distress, or delayed stress. So our goal is to test out our model of moderators and mediators for our negative health outcomes in our repeated measures data. And here's our hurricane car security in action. And if you don't think that beer was better than gold, you've never been in a disaster area. Questions? I think it was irrelevant. It didn't even have to be cold at that point. Alcoholic was good enough. Yes. Yes. At time two, at the first anniversary, I had 295 that filled out the survey, and only 25 that gave saliva samples. So at this last, the data for 25, the attrition for the saliva, I didn't even bother with it this last time. Since I've just finished data collection, it looks like I might have about 70. So it was a huge, we went for NIH funding, 3 resubmissions, and got scored but not funded. So we essentially did this with no money. So I was astonished that we got 477, so kudos to everybody. Other questions? All right. Thank you very much. Thank you.